I know there's some tired, and Bob and Jamie have super church today.
I better get out of here. They're praying for me today. Please, God, get him done soon. All righty. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. I'm going to bring a message to you. I witnessed to two different people this week on two different days, and I was really troubled that they couldn't get saved. And I'm going to share a thought with you about witnessing today. I'm going to bring a message. Not everyone sees. Not everyone who sees. I'm going to share a couple of things with you, what I had this week in some of my encounters with people. And not everyone who sees. Like today, those teenagers are here that went to Cedar Point yesterday. They're looking at you, but they don't. They're really sleeping. They're numb. They're walking, but they're not living. But let's stand for the reading of God's word. Glad you're here today. Mark chapter 10. Stephen, it's so great to have you and the others with us, and Katie and the girls. So great having you today, just like old times. Look at verse 46. And they came to, how many got Mark 10, 46? And they came to Jericho, and as he went, by the way, they preached about Jericho Friday night with the walls here. And they came to Jericho. A lot of things went on at Jericho, didn't it? A lot of big things happened in Jericho. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus. By the way, everyone here, when you were born blind. Or you might be able to see, but you were blind spiritually. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I like this next verse. 49. And Jesus stood still. I don't know if you can grab this and what this is saying here. Jesus stopped. The creator of heaven and earth stopped to talk to this man that cried out to him. The creator stopped to hear what the creation had to say. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I wonder if God would call us sometimes if we would answer him. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole. And immediately, I'm glad salvation's immediately. He received, I'm not holding on. Brother Coolidge, aren't you glad we're not holding on, praying through? Thy faith had made thee whole, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Did you ever notice too, those who get the sight from Christ, they follow him? There's something connected to that, isn't there? Heavenly Father, I believe you put this in my heart to preach. I pray for those two men this week. Oh, God. I met two blind men this week, and I couldn't get their eyes open. Please send the wonderful light of Christ that they might see like this blind Bartimaeus did, Father. And Father, help us as Christians understand what we're dealing with today when we encounter people. It's more than flesh and blood. Oh God, I pray with all my heart that we would have a burden, that as we encounter different people in our daily walk, that we would want them to see Jesus. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you'll take notice some details about the story of this miracle that happened outside of the city of Jericho. Verse 46, God's word identified some people there by their personal names. Verse 46, he identified a man named Bartimaeus. He was blind, but he mentioned his name, Bartimaeus. How many see that? And he said he's the son of Timaeus. So he actually identified Bartimaeus' father also. You know, it's something when God points people out, he's got a reason for it. Did you know God, just like God personally knew their name, he knows your name? Did you know Jesus knew all about their life before he met them? Did you know he knows all about your life today? He knows where you live. God knows where you live. God knows what you went through this morning. God knows what you faced last week. God knows what you're going to face tomorrow and in the coming days. Aren't you glad that God knows? By the way, I noted every hair on your head, he knows. Some of you don't have no money, but he knew. Brother Steve, he knew what you had on before you lost it. You too, Sean. Matthew 10:30 says the very hairs of your on your head are all numbered. God knows. God, look, what I want to say is we have an all-knowing God. You say God don't know, God don't care. God's not. No, he's very interested in you. I see Norma Minor today. I'm going to tell you right now, Norma, there wasn't one second, one moment, 1 minute, 1 hour this week that God wasn't watching over you. The Bible says he watches over the sparrows. And you're much more valuable than sparrows. Amen. Notice in verse 47, I want you to get this. Even though Bartimaeus could not see Jesus physically, he couldn't see Jesus. He was blind. He heard, though, that Jesus was coming. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by. Did you know before you see Christ, you'll hear about him first? Before you'll literally see him, you'll hear about him first. How many are still with me? Matter of fact, you've got to hear about him before you ever see him. See, blind Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus, but he heard about him. And because he heard that he was coming, eventually got to see him. I wonder how many people would see Jesus if they would just hear about him from us. Amen? You know, think with me. Look at verse 47. Blind Bartimaeus, he knew he needed mercy. Look what he said in verse 47. And he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, and he began to cry out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." How many see that? You know, there's some things money couldn't buy or purchase, and Bartimaeus knew he needed something from God that money couldn't purchase. You know, everyone needs something from God here that money can't purchase. And that's the salvation of Christ. And by the way, that salvation, there was a price for that. And it was purchased. It was purchased by Christ on Calvary with the blood of Christ himself. Amen? How many can say amen to that? He knew that he needed something that you couldn't purchase. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This blind man's gonna receive his sight here, but he didn't do nothing to deserve it. It was all by the grace of God. You know, everything we get, we don't deserve. But it's all by the grace of God. Now, this is not spiritual, but Johnny got a big turkey the other day on Friday. And Johnny, really, to be honest with you, you didn't deserve it, but God, by God's grace, you got it. Amen? I mean, all that we have, and someone's going to get to eat that turkey. I hope it's this turkey right here. I don't know what, listen to me. Somebody's going to eat that turkey, but it's all by God's grace. You know, all that we have, the air that we breathe, God's just lending to us. How many are still with me? Stay with me. I'm working up to something. Notice verse 48. He's crying out to Christ, that Christ will hear him. Look at verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, they're saying, shut up! You old blind beggar, shut up! Be silent! The Italian was there. Shut up your mouth. Now listen to me. Did you ever notice the world doesn't want you to know about Christ? The world wants to shut you out from Christ. They said, be silent! Be silent! I love what he did, Eddie. He yelled louder. Look at that scripture. I love it. But he cried the more, a great deal. Not only did he yell louder, Brian, he yelled it more often. He put it in forward. He put the metal to the pedal or something like that. He got going more. Amen? Notice, the world doesn't want people to come to Jesus. They will encourage you not to seek Christ. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Look up here. You got to get this. This blind man knew he needed a miracle. This blind beggar on the outside of Jericho, on the highway there. You could have named this the highway to heaven because it was on that highway that he found how to get to heaven. Amen. And he knew he had a chance, and boy, Christ was there. No doubt he heard about what Christ had done with other things he had done, the stories and the miracles that Christ had performed. He said, this is my one chance. This is my one chance. I'm not going to let it slip through my fingers. Jesus, Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he just kept crying out. I'm here with me. You know, when God gives you an opportunity for something, don't lose out on it. He took full advantage of what his opportunity was. How many times people have had opportunities for Christ and they forfeited those opportunities and didn't take advantage of those opportunities that Christ gave them? Look at verse 49. Jesus stood still. Wow. Can you imagine the King of Glory? Can you imagine the Alpha and the Omega? Can you imagine the Prince of Peace, the Son of God? Because, Brian, just think if you and I were calling out and he stopped for us. He literally stopped for this old, and this guy wasn't no royalty. He was a blind beggar. Hello? He was riffraff. He was scum of the world. He was Poorsville. Hello? He didn't have nothing. He had nothing to offer God, but he knew God had everything to offer him. You know, that's what we need to come in our life. We've got nothing to offer God, but boy, God's got everything to offer us. And the little bit we could offer him, if he would take it, we'd say, I'll say amen. Some of you get mad because I mentioned $20 to help put up a roof on the Beckett building so when you eat your food in there, you won't get rained on. Hello? Amen. Jesus stood still just to talk to this man, this beggar named Bartimaeus. That shows me something. Christ really cares about people. If he'll care about that poor beggar, he'll care about anybody. Hello? If he means, that means if he cares about him, he cares about you. Hello? Look at verse 49. I love this verse 40. Look what they said to him, the disciples. Be of good comfort. Well, we can't. I'm glad Jesus stopped. This guy's shutting his mouth finally. See, it makes good to bring petitions before God. I wonder if he'd have said, okay, I'll just forget about it. See, oh, God won't hear me. Lord, please. Then you forget about it. This man didn't give up. I wonder how many things you could have got from God this week, but you gave up asking. See, God saw the earnest of this man's heart. When we pray, look up here, God sees the earnest of our heart. He can tell if it's coming from our heart, Brother Mike, or if it's just lip service. Hello? Am I making sense to anybody? This week, did we give God our heart in prayer, or did we give God lip service? By the way, he knows the difference between the two of them. Notice they said, be of good comfort, rise. Do you ever notice when you go to Christ, you're going up, not down? Anytime you come to Christ, you're going up. You're going in the right direction. Heaven's the right direction. Hell's going down. That's the wrong direction. Notice, it says, for he calleth thee. Wow. I really believe Jesus calls everyone. I'm not an electionist. I believe whosoever will may come. I believe everybody gets a call from Christ. I know there's some people saying only God's only going to save the elect. Well, I'm going to tell you, I wasn't in the elect, but the moment I trusted Christ, I became one of the elect. Tommy, you just keep preaching, whosoever will. Because the Bible teaches whosoever will may come. And God cares about everyone. Christ died for everyone. Christ arose for everyone. Christ wants all. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Hey, these elections, Brother Coolidge, they're going to have trouble with some of the scriptures, aren't they? Not willing that any should perish. And John 3, for God so loved the world, he loved them all. And you're part of the world today. Amen? Now notice, Bartimaeus makes his request. He calls. When Jesus calls, listen to me. When Jesus calls, and he does, I think everyone ought to listen. And I think everybody ought to respond when Christ calls. You should respond to him if you hear him speak to you. Verse 50. I love what he did here in verse 50. This blind Bartimaeus, he cast away his garments. Probably was all wrapped up. I love that picture, Kenny. You know what that's telling you? Forget all the baggage. Just come to Jesus like you are. He'll take care of you. Well, I'd come to Christ, but I got to. No, don't worry about that. Just come to him. Just come the way you are. That's why we sing this song, just as I am, without one plea. Just come to Christ, just right, because that's how he'll take care of you. He knows how to take care of what's wrong with us. Amen? Cast away all his garments, he arose and came to Jesus. When you come to Jesus, forget about the worldly things that you have. Just come to him just like you are. Forget all the baggage. Forget about all good works. Forget about religion. Forget about baptism. Just come to Jesus just as you are. Verse 51, Bartimaeus makes a request. Lord, that I might see. How many see that? I'm trying to get to I've got two illustrations I want to give you, and I'm trying to get to it. Lord, that I might see. You see that in verse 51? God says, what can I do for you? He said, Lord, that I might see. Well, if God would ask you, can I ask you something today? If God say, what can I do for you? What would be your request? If Christ would say to you, what can I do for you today? What would your response to him today would be? Yeah, think about that. Then maybe you ought to go home and say, God, I want to make a request to you today from your heart. Amen? Listen, that I might see. I noted this, Ray. That should be the prayer for every person, even saved people. I know this man's not saved yet, but that's a prayer everyone should make unto God, even saved people, because I think even saved people should want to see what God wants for their life. Amen? Listen to me. There are people that can see physical things today, but cannot see spiritual things. Some men, they have physical sight, but cannot see spiritual things that pertain to God and His Word. They can still see, but if you read the Bible to them, they can't understand it. You ever notice that? Yet there are people who cannot see physically, yet the spiritual light of Christ is in them. So just because you can see doesn't mean you can see. Listen, these people that are totally blind, but their eyes are open unto the glories of God. Listen, get this. They may walk in darkness, people that are saved, they're blind, but walk every day in the glories of the light of Christ. Even if a person's saved, Coolidge, even if they're blind, they're not blind. They still have the light of Christ in them. Now get this. So you have some people who can see, who walk in darkness, and others who are blind, who walk in the glorious light of Christ. Then there's some of us, we're blessed. We can see this side, and we can also see the other side. Are you with me? What I'm trying to say is this today. It's not everyone who sees, and this is my message, not everyone who sees. Not everyone who sees. What do you see today? How good your spiritual sight? Let me give you a few things experiences I had this week. This last week, I witnessed to two men, two different men, two different days, two different places, two different times. And neither man knew Christ as their Savior. Most of you know I collect Wright radios. I love radios. And since it's got a lot warmer and I've been trying, I can walk a little bit. I try, not every Monday, but if it's nice and warm and good enough where I can get out, on Monday I'll go up and I'll do some walking in Hartville. And of course, if there's benches there, if I get tired, I can sit down. Plus, I park my car in the middle, so if I get too tired, I just sit in my, if I'm walking, I just sit and get back in my car. Kind of a safety zone, amen? But last Monday, I went to Hartville, and I walked around. And I met this man. I go there to get some exercise, and I go there to buy radios. I really need a lot of radios. I only have about 200 of them. Probably not that many, but I have well over 100 some. I don't count them, but I know I've got a lot of them. I need a radio like you need a hole in a head. But I don't golf and I don't play tennis, so I collect radios. Well, there was a new man that I met today. I witnessed, I get a lot of radios. from this Romanian man named Val. Val's up there every Monday. But there was a new man I met named Joe. And I bought some radios off him. Matter of fact, he gave me an unbelievable price. And he said, "You really like radios?" And I said, "I love radios." He said, "I got all kinds of radios at my house." He said, I've got the old push buttons. I've got metal ones. I've got a lot of them." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yep." And I said, "I'll bring them Thursday." I said, "You know, I don't want you to take all." I said, "I never know if I have to be in the hospital." I pastor a church. I never know if I'm going to be with somebody. Today I got the beer because nothing was there in front of me. And I said, "Let me do this. Let me get your address and let me call you. And if I can get free, I'll just come to your house." He said, "Okay, I live in Chippewa Lake." And I said, "Wow, where's that?" I thought he lived. I said, "Well, I live in Ravenna. Where do you live?" He said, "Chippewa Lake." I said, "Oh, okay." I didn't worry about it because David William has one of those little computers on his phone and tells you how to get there and stuff. And so I said, "I'll call you tomorrow, and I'll get my son to bring me." He said, "Okay." And so I called, and nothing came out. So I called him around, I think it was around 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And he said, "Oh, yeah, okay. He's an older man. And I said, "Me and my son will come." He said, "Okay, just drive out there and we'll meet you. Me and Val will meet you at this truck stop at 71 and 224, thank you. And then we'll take you to my house." He lives by a lake. Wow. And so Davey got off around 1:30, quarter to 2, school, because the kids were practicing, and he took, God bless him, he always, if it's a short distance, I'll drive, but it's a long distance, I usually get someone to drive me. And so Davey drives me there, and it's probably, I'm going to say 40 minutes from here, and go out, you just go out to past Akron, and ask David, he's the one that drove. So I go to this man's house, and he starts showing me all this stuff. My eyes are going bonkers, man. His wife had passed away about 3 years ago, and he shared some things with me. His whole house was filled with stuff. I mean, I love stuff. And I'm going to guess 35 or 40 radios. Wow. And I said, "Oh, boy." And I got looking at the radio, and I did buy some off him, but he had this one that I've never saw before. It's called a Tucker radio. It went in a car. In 1948, they made 51 cars, Tucker cars. They only made 51 of them. He had a radio. He had one of those radios from one of them cars. I like radios, and that's a pretty rare radio. And so I bought that off him and a few other radios. I bought a total of 18 radios. They're coming to take me away. Oh, hey. And after we got done with all the radio stuff, and I gave him the money I had on me, because he got it all. I said, "Joe, I want to ask you something. Do you know Christ as your Savior?" I said, "Joe, do you know if you die, if you go to heaven?" He said, "Oh, I don't know." And I started to witness to him, and I shared the gospel with him, and I prayed with him, but he didn't get it. I I took out one of Davey's tracks, Got Life. You know, I said, my son wrote this track, Got Life, and tells you how to get to heaven. And we stood some time and tried to explain to him how to get to heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, I love radios, but I'm going to tell you right now, those as great as those radios, ain't nothing more important than people getting saved. Amen. By the way, whether you believe it or not, I take tracks with me everywhere I go. I pass out tracks all the time at Hartville. I pass out tracks everywhere I go. Anything you do, you can take tracks. Hello? And this man started to cry. Tears started to come down his cheeks, Annie. He said, I lost my wife, and went on and on about all kinds of stuff. And I just, you know, I sympathized with him, and I let him tell me some stuff. And then, I tried to get him back on Christ, and he just couldn't. He was a sweet man. He was a senior citizen. And the Romanian, Val was there because I didn't know. Val actually rents from him. And so this one Romanian that I witnessed to all the time, he was there too, Val. And so I'm witnessing to both of them, but I'm really working on Joe the most. And I pour my heart out to this Joe. And he embraces me for sharing Christ. But Kenny, he didn't understand. He felt my compassion, Ruth. He felt my compassion. But he couldn't see my Christ. And that's what broke my heart. And so me and Davey prayed with him, and we left. I want you to pray for Joe. And I'm going to try to get back with him some more. You see, Mike, that man could see. He could see, but he couldn't see. He could see me physically, but he couldn't see my Christ. You see, there's a lot of people who can see today, but can't see. Am I making sense to anybody? He could see me, but he couldn't see my Jesus. As much as I told him about Christ, Danny, he couldn't see him. Oh, he knew he was religious. He had Roman Catholic background. He knew about religion, but he didn't know about salvation. He could see, but he was blind. Am I making sense to anybody? I want you to see some. How many are glad you can see today? How many are glad you can see Jesus? Look at Matthew 13:13. I'll try not to be too long. I still got another story to tell you yet. Matthew 13:13. Now, I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm hoping he'll be there tomorrow if the Lord will let me. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 13:13. Therefore speak I them to in parables, because how many got Matthew 13:13? Because they seen, see not. How many see what Jesus is saying? Because they seen, see not. These people are really blind. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. That's exactly where that man was. And by the way, the majority of the people you deal with, that's where they're going to be. They can see, but they can't see. They can hear, but they can't hear. They have no understanding what you're trying to tell them. It's got to be God that opens it up to them. Boy, we ought to be thankful that God's opened up. Don't get high-minded. Look at verse 15 and 16. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull. See, sin will dull your ears to Christ. Sin will dull your ears to the Bible. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart. See, it's with the heart man believes with unto righteousness, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. If you can hear today, say amen. If you can see, say amen. Listen, if you understand about Christ today, you've been blessed beyond measure. Look at another scripture with me. Look at the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. Look at verse 22. All things are delivered to me. I'm in Luke 10, 22. Of my Father. No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. Who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things ye see. Annie, we've got blessed eyes. Tim, because we're children of God, we've got eyes that have been blessed. Because there's a lot of people today that walk with open eyes that are still blind. And the majority are blind and not seeing. How many can say amen? Listen, there are a lot of people that know about Jesus Christ, but they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Friday, I witnessed to another man, and this was a good man. This man I witnessed to was a good man. I met with him, matter of fact. I was dealing with him and another lady, and I witnessed to this man was a good man, and he had a religious experience when he was a young man. And I asked him if he was saved, and he said, I guess I am. I did something back with Rex Humbart when I was a young guy, years ago. Now, this is a good man. This man's not a bad man. He's a good man. He's an older man. And I said, well, tell me what you did. He said, well, I went to hear Rex Humbart preach over there in Akron. And by the way, I think a lot of people did get saved here in Rex Humbart. Listen, you don't have to be a Baptist to win people. The Word of God's what converts people. God's Word is what draws people. Kelly Shackelford called last week. This ain't got nothing to do with it, but I guess it was some little boy preaching somewhere in this area. A little 12-year-old boy. I'd be careful about that stuff, though. I think when you start preaching, you ought to be a man. God doesn't call little boys to preach. He calls men to preach. And most of the time, those people, they're caught up in stuff, and usually their life ends up as a tragedy because they've been taught untruths, and they wonder what in the world's going on, and their life's destroyed at the end. Watch out. Not everything that goes on that says it's religious is religious. Not everything that says it's of God is of God. Am I making sense to anybody? I don't know that little boy. I don't know nothing about that little boy, and I'm not saying he is or isn't, but I'm always leery of that kind of stuff. Usually it's a show, a dog and pony show, and it's not what God does. Hello? He uses little boys to bring loaves of bread to people to feed them, but he brings men to feed the Word of God. How many are still with me? Oh, I try to raise preachers up. I try to raise young men to be preachers, but they don't start preaching until they get a little bit older. Hello? Well, let me get back to this man. I asked him, I said, tell me about that experience. He said, I was at a meeting and I came forward. And I said, well, why did you do that? He said, I don't know. And he said, I guess everybody told me it's a good thing to do it. He said, I thought I should. You know, a lot of people, I don't care if it's here or Rex Humbert or anybody, just coming to the altar don't get you saved. Just shaking the preacher's hand, having the preacher pray with you, don't get you to heaven. And I said to this dear man, I said, if you died today and stood before God and you say, why should I let you in heaven? What would you say? And he said, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. He said, I just don't know. The guy's a straight shooter. He's a good man. But good men don't go to heaven. Saved men go to heaven. And by the way, you don't get saved until you realize you're a bad man that needs Christ. Sinners get saved. And I asked him again, I said, what? I said, you're getting pretty old. And he was my age. Look, matter of fact, he was older than me. And I said, you and I have spent most of our life. We're not at the front of our life. You and I are on the back lap of our life. What are you going to do when you die? Because I said, there's only a heaven and a hell. And I didn't, Ruthie, I didn't want him just to say a prayer to make me feel good. I didn't even try to lead him. I didn't try to lead him in the sinner's prayer. Somebody said, wow. I'll tell you why I didn't, Dan. He didn't have no understanding about where he was. Look up here. People can't get saved until they know they're lost. And I'm not going to let him make a false profession. Listen, when people get convicted, you don't have to ask them to trust Christ. They come and ask Christ. And this man was an upright man. And he said, preacher, tell me. And I shared the word of God with him. And I just said, and I told this other lady that was with him, I said, you need to read the Gospel of John every day and some things with him and try to share the word of God with him to try to get him to get in the word of God. And God would show him. And I mean, they were right here on this property. And I remember they both got in the car. And he was on the passenger side and he rolled the window down. And he said, preacher, what should I do? And I grabbed him. And I said, every day, ask God to show you what you need from Christ. I said, if I was you, I would beg God every day, God, show me what I need from Jesus. Because only God can show you. Am I making sense to anybody? And I'm going to tell you, I had tears in my eyes. And my heart was broken. Because this man's not in good shape. And he was wanting to be saved. But he had his eyes open wide to everything I said. But he couldn't understand anything that I told him. You see, he could see me, but he was blind to the truth of Christ. How many are still with me? I said, ask Jesus every day, dear Jesus, please show me what I need to see. Show me, God, what I need. I couldn't break through the barrier. I hope. He'll seek God. That's why the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Listen, don't make fun of people that can't see their need for Christ. He had a bad thing with religion. He had a bad experience in churches. I said, you don't ever have to step your foot inside my church. I meant that. I said, you don't have to step your foot inside this church here. But I said, you got to get Christ. By the way, if he ever gets Christ, he'll want to step his foot in here. But we see so many people that are blinded. Can I give you a couple more scriptures, and then I'll let you go? The Jewish people are the same way. Look over in Romans. Look at Romans chapter 11. Look at Romans chapter 11. Look at verse 25. For I would not, brethren. You see, I dealt with people that could see this week but couldn't see. How many of you are hearing what I'm saying? They could see, but they couldn't see. I'm telling you, I talked to people today that could see but were blind. Look at verse 25. Don't make fun of the Jewish people. Look, 11, Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel. Look up here. The Jewish people know Christ was born. They know his lineage. They know who his mother and father was. Listen, they know the history of Christ, but they believe he died and didn't raise from the grave. They have a historical record of Christ. They know all about Christ, just like you and I, but they can't see Christ came for them. That's how these people are today, even the Gentiles. They know about Christ. They heard that he died on the cross, but they just can't see it for them. Am I making sense to anybody? Stay with me. Look, let me just quote this. In John 20, 28, when Thomas saw Jesus after the resurrection, remember doubting Tom? He said, unless I see the prints in his hands and his feet, remember that? He said, I won't believe. Jesus shows up 8 days later. How many are with me? Shows up, said, look, Tom, look at my hands, look at my side. Don't be faithless, but believing. And here's what Thomas said in John 20, 28. He said, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Now, you can say what you want about Thomas. I don't believe Thomas got saved until he's right there. He walked with Christ. He saw the miracles of Christ, Jackie. And I don't believe Thomas got, and he was a disciple, but I don't care. I don't think he was a true believer until he really saw Christ who he really was. And until you see Christ who he really is, Savior, your sacrifice, you're the only, he's the only way to get you to heaven. You'll not go to heaven either. Now, real quickly, I've got 5 more minutes, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to show you the steps of faith of a blind man. Look at John chapter 9. Look at John chapter 9 and verse 1. Am I boring you? Let me pour my heart out to you today. Listen to a guy that's seen some things in his life. Hebrews, let's go to John 9, 1, but let me read to you Hebrews 11, 27. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. I've never seen Christ, but I've seen him. I've never seen, these people said they saw a 40-foot Jesus. They've ate too many pickles before they went to bed. Hello? I've never seen Jesus, yet he's my Savior. I've seen him by faith in the pages of the Word of God. I know what he looks like because of what the Bible tells me. I've got all kinds of pictures. I was going to bring a picture of Christ today that my brother gave me. And I love my brother, Jerry. He lives up in Monroe, Michigan. But he gave me the average picture of Jesus with beautiful reddish hair. And all. You know. Jesus had black hair as a raven, the Bible teaches. He didn't have that beautiful reddish brown hair that they always portray on the movies. And how many are with me? Jesus is not Hollywood. And he had short hair, not long hair. How many are still with me? But here's a man that Jesus healed from He was blind from the birth. It's a picture of you and I. All of us were blind from the birth because we didn't know, we couldn't see Christ as our Savior. We're spiritually blind. How many are with? I know this is physical, but I'm putting it in a spiritual application. Are you with me? Let's do it real quick. Verse 1, Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. That's every one of us. We're all spiritually blind. Look at verse 7. I can't read it all. He heals this man. And then verse 7, he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way thereof and washed and came. What did he do? He came seeing. I'm going to tell you right now, when I got saved, I came seeing. And until you really get saved, you don't really see. Now watch. Look at the progression of this man, Johnny. In verse, look what he thought about Christ. In verse 10, they asked him about this. They said, therefore in him, how were thine eyes opened? See verse 11? He said, a man opened my eyes. How many see that? So he saw, number one, he saw Jesus, when he first came to Christ, he saw Jesus as a good man. That's how most people see him. He was a good man. Look down at verse 17. They asked him again. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that had opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Now he's seen more of a religious person. How many are with me? First he saw him as a good man, then he saw him as a religious man. Jesus getting more status in his eyes. Then look over in verse 35. By the way, verse 31, go to verse 31 first, though, and then 35 is the ending. Now we know God that God heareth not sinners. God didn't say that. That's these Pharisees saying that. God hears sinners. I hear preachers say, well, God don't hear sinners. I'm glad he heard me. Yeah, amen. Hello? That wasn't God saying that. God's word recorded what those men said. We know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper, how many see what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you right now, God hears people. If he didn't, none of us would be saved. Hello? Don't get caught in that trap. Look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast the blind man out that was, received his sight. And when he found him, he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Look at verse 36, the blind man who's got his sight now. He answered and said, who is he, Lord? Oh, that's a good direction. When you start seeing Christ as Lord, that's a you start seeing who he really is. He's more than a good man. He's more than a religious man. He's King of kings, Lord of lords. He's Savior of the world. That I might believe on him. Verse 37, Jesus said, thou hast both seen him. See, we're talking about seeing today. There's a lot of people that see that don't see. This man saw and still hadn't seen him. Because after he got his eyesight, he saw him as a good man. Then he saw him as a prophet. See the progression how people go through? Look at verse 37. Jesus said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Buddy, hello? Teenagers, I'm talking to you. You know, look at me. Jesus said, look, guess what? I'm him. And look at verse 38. And that blind man that received his sight, he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. How many see that? There's salvation. How many see that? There is salvation. Listen, if the Lord shows you today that you need him as Savior, right now, I wouldn't even, if you're here today and you've never been saved, I wouldn't even wait to play the piano. I'd just come forward right now, Pastor Dave, somebody grab their Bible. Listen, if you see today, if God shows you you're lost, you ought to come forward right now and get saved. Don't even wait. If God opens your eyes and you can see it, you need to come right now. Right now, if God shows you. In Acts 26:28, the Apostle Paul poured his heart out to King Agrippa to be saved. And King Agrippa said, almost thou persuades me to be a Christian. Did you know what? I never read in the Word of God that King Agrippa ever got saved. I read where he had a chance to be saved, but he didn't get saved when he had the chance. I doubt very seriously if King Agrippa went to heaven. I think King Agrippa's in hell right now, and he regrets that when he had an opportunity. Paul, the preacher, begged him to get saved. He saw, but he turned him down. If you see the importance of Christ, don't turn him down. Respond. Don't put Jesus off. You may never get another chance. And by the way, Christian, 2 Peter 1:16 tells us we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. The Bible says we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. In other words, we're to be telling people about our wonderful Savior. Can I ask you today, do you see what you see? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father,